Revenue is open. Good morning, everyone. We will start with a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2833. Kyle? Enterprise zones.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2833 is a bill that's making a series of technical corrections and clarifications. It comes to you from the Oregon Business Development Department. And it's making a number of clarifications that's throughout statute. It does have one clarification that I've highlighted in the SMS and it's in the revenue impact statement as well. And it's related to the clarification that for business firms to continue to qualify in a long-term rural enterprise zone, the average compensation at the qualified facility after initially meeting the compensation requirements, which is 150%, they would have to continue to meet that in years going forward. Right now, there's some ambiguity in statute on whether they have to meet that 150% threshold or a 100% threshold of the county median. In terms of the revenue impact, we looked at some of the data provided by Business Oregon, and none of the companies that are currently receiving the long-term rural enterprise zone are at risk of not meeting the 150% threshold, so it would be still would fall under a bit of a technical change without any policy effect at this time with the companies we see. But it was just one thing worth highlighting that is maybe more than just scratching out one word and changing it with another to tighten up the statute and clarify things. And just as a little bit of background, the last change, technical bill that came out that was making a series of change related to the business, the enterprise zone statutes, was back in 2003. So in some ways, this exercise is probably a little overdue, and I think Business Oregon can give you a little more background on how they crafted these changes, which they did share with legislative revenue months before the session as well, for us to kind of go through and see and make sure things were they were on the technical change side of things.
Okay, Art Fish.
Chair Haas, members of the Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue, thank you very much. My name is Art Fish with with Business Oregon, otherwise known as the Oregon Business Development Department. I appreciate the chance to be here. I've been observing your deliberations this session, and I applaud your work. Hope that helps you a lot. But in any event,
we'll get you everywhere.
That's what they tell me. It doesn't work on me, of course. But in any event, I would just correct staff to note that the bill actually was introduced. It wasn't introduced as an agency bill, but through the House Revenue Committee. But I do want to thank staff very much for their assistance in working through some of these changes and, you know, making sure not only the revenue impact was particularly neutral, but that, any policy impacts were very neutral. And as far as the thing, it's actually the first thing. We have our testimony in OLIS as well as a very detailed line-by-line explanation of all these changes. And, you know, it has been a while, I suppose, since we've had this kind of exercise. Back in 2003, we worked, the agency worked very closely with legislative counsel to, you know, just really go through and resort the statutes and so forth. And so I think we've been very blessed with a very tight bunch of technically sound language. It's a bit complicated, of course. But the one thing that staff did certainly highlight, I think, is actually an excellent example of what we're trying to do here. It's something that we really kind of stumbled on just a little while ago. But if you go back to 2001, when there was some changes made to those particular things regarding the long-term program, and I was referring mainly to the reorganization of the shorter-term standard program in 2003, but in 2001, some provisions were moved around, and eventually we ended up with this this implication that you meet the 150% and then it just needs to be 101% or more later on if you interpret it quite literally. And that didn't sound right, and it wasn't necessarily the original intention going back to that time. So it's that sort of thing that this bill is looking at, you know, things that just kind of got a little bit sideways or aren't quite clear. One thing goes back to the 2010-2011 session when, in response to the recession, some language was put in to provide a sort of even more complicated provisions for allowing companies to kind of drop out of the program for a couple years and then come back when their employment had recovered, subject to some recessionary conditions and other things. And that was just kind of not a very well-written stuff, and it was very challenging to implement initially. So based on some work that was done shortly thereafter but never kind of made it into enacted legislation, we go through very thoroughly and kind of work out this ORS 285C.203 and some other cross-references and so forth to make sure it's all, you know, quite implementable and clear as you can do this sort of thing. So, but with that being said, I think we can rest assured, because if we didn't do it, we'd certainly get a recession. But now that we've taken care of it, I think we'll be okay for many years. So it's a good anti-recessionary type of thing to take on here. So with that, I just, you know, take your questions at will and, you know, wish you good luck in dealing with this.
Questions of Mr. Fish?
No, I'm very familiar with this program.
Okay. Clean up. I know there's no revenue or fiscal impact. Department of Revenue is not signed up to testify, so I think we're okay.
We in a work session?
We are in a work session.
First off, I want to declare a conflict of interest because I have a company that could be impacted by this. Second point, Mr. Chair, I mean, I'm familiar that there are 9 Republicans that voted against this in the House, in theory, over the discussion that this 100% versus 150. As I said, I'm very familiar with this program. My interpretation has been the 150%. I think Kyle can confirm, can't you, Kyle, that there's nobody going to be booted out of this program.
That's right. Correct.
So, and having declared the conflict of interest, Mr. President, I move 2833 to the floor with a 2 pass.
Your conflict is noted. Who did this use line explanations business?
Or that's business.
Yeah. There's something in line explanations in OLIS is a pretty thorough explanation, section by section. People want to go in there. Senator Buckwist. Your potential conflict is noted. Is there any? He moves that House Bill. Senator Boquist moves House Bill 2833 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate. Any discussion? Clerk will call the roll.
Senator DeBoer.
Yes.
Senator Riley.
Aye.
Senator Taylor.
Aye.
Vice Chair Boquist.
Yes.
Chair Hass.
Hass votes aye. House Bill 2833 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate. We are in turns of bills to Senator Boquist.
If you would carry this. Mr. President.
So Senator Boquist will carry this bill. Thank you, Art. And we'll close the public hearing and work session.
We declare that one.
And open up a public hearing and work session on House Bill 2275. Chris Olinett.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2275 comes from the Department of Revenue and pertains to some definitions for corporation income. And so just to take a step back, basically income that gets taxed by corporations falls into one of two categories. Under current law, it's either defined as business income or non-business income. And business income is income that arrives through the normal course of the business, and it gets apportioned across the states. And non-business income is income that will be allocated to a particular state given the unique circumstances of that. It's not apportioned across states. What 2275 does is it modifies some definitions in accordance with MTC recommendations and changes business income to apportionable income, just to clarify that. To kind of a truth in advertising, I guess, kind of thing about the income that is subject to apportionment. It's the intent is not to change anything, but to clarify that income that is apportionable is just called apportionable income, and then you have non-apportionable income. Part of this arrived, and I think you're going to hear some information from DOR about how some courts have ruled in other states on some nuances of the determination of business income, basically a transactional test and a functional test. Gets into some details there that the department can testify to. But that hasn't really affected Oregon. These are court cases in other states. So it's not really expected to have any effect here. It has a no fiscal impact and a minimal revenue impact. And most of the language change is on the first page of the bill, where the definition for business income is deleted and it's replaced by a definition for apportionable income. And then the rest of the bill is changing, just the word change, kind of conforming amendments, if you will. Okay, Jeff Henderson.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Jeff Henderson with the Oregon Department of Revenue. As Chris mentioned, House Bill 2275 would adopt a MTC uniform proposal of the MTC related to the definition of business income. In Section 1 of the bill, you can see that what it does, it takes the existing definition and splits that into two parts to clarify that there are two distinct tests in determining business income. The first part would be, as Chris mentioned, income arising from transactions and activity in the regular course of the trade or business. That's referred to as the transactional test. The second part of the definition is referred to as the functional test. And so what this change does is it just simply splits up the existing definition in statute to clearly show that there are two separate tests. Some courts have ruled that there is really just one test, and the functional test is a subset of the transactional test. The Oregon courts have not ruled that way. We don't see that this would be a change to how we interpret the statute in Oregon. The second part of what this bill does is it adds reference to any other income that is apportionable under the Constitution of the United States and not allocated under the laws. And so that is in response. The MTC took forward that proposal in response to some other states' decisions in regards to liquidations of business. There was some question about whether that income could be considered business income if the business no longer exists. We don't see that being an issue in Oregon. We don't see that the courts would interpret it that way. But for sake of uniformity, we're bringing this forward, bringing this proposal forward as a member of the MTC. So by changing it, by adding that, by adding the reference to the Constitution and changing the language in the statute from business income to apportionable income, it does get to the issue that Chris spoke to, how the courts might look to business income no longer being business income on it for liquidation. With that, I take any questions.
So if I understand it right, what you're saying is that this is not going to change anything that you do.
Mr. Chair, Senator, that's correct. We don't see this as having any substantial impact on how we administer the statute now.
Substantial?
We don't see that as having any impact on how
any
we...
Any impact, okay.
Other questions? Jeff?
Question of staff.
Was there Senator Bocas.
I see there's no one signed up on the magic sheet there. Was there any discussion from business or anything on the far side or...
I don't recall any or any concerns.
I'm just everybody asleep out there with their laptops, you know, pounding away. And, okay, fine.
And we have no real OLIS entries from people other than staff or the department.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
We're working on it.
We are.
Mr. Chair, I move 2275 to the floor with a due pass.
Senator Bocas moves House Bill 2275 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Is there a further discussion? The clerk will call the roll.
Senator Moore?
Yes.
Senator Riley?
Aye.
Senator Taylor?
Aye.
Vice Chair Bocas?
Yes.
Chair Ash.
House votes aye. House Bill 2275 goes to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a due pass recommendation. Senator Taylor, would you carry this bill?
I'd be delighted, Chair Hatch.
And Senator Taylor will be the carrier. We'll close the work session on 2275. Short order today, guys. This is not a new record, but a respectable job, nonetheless. We will be back tomorrow at 8:30. All right. We are adjourned. All right. We are adjourned. 8:30.